word that I know that I know that I know. A lot of people don't show up for church. Look at this church. That's ridiculous. Don't be in the ridiculous crowd ever. Because you know what? I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going to church this morning and I'm expecting healing from you. For me. Not for y'all. The Bible says those that are planted, that's me, in the house, right, will flourish in the court. Flourish. So I'm laying hold of the promises. I'm like, as for me in my house, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to the house of the Lord this morning, God, and I'm expecting. Well, occupy Jesus. Give me that scripture, Beth, please. In whatever it is, John. Luke, yes. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. Now, this is with the talents, the parable of the talents. He gave talents, but I'm really not going to major on the talents. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what? Right. He said, occupy till I come. He gave them things. And he said, now the word occupy, I went and looked up the word because God spoke it to me this morning, not that scripture. The word occupy there in that, and I thought about that where Jesus said that. So I went and looked it up where Jesus was telling them. This is a parable. It's just a parable. But the word occupy means to do business. He gave it to them. He said, now do business till I come. Do business till I come. And I thought, God, that's a big arena there. I thought, that's a big arena there to do business. What does that mean? Put the turnip greens up when you go home, Granny. I brought some turnip greens. Do business. Had two bags. Dee wants some. I got a bag for her. But I was going to give her two bags. You know, Granny, well, she's having surgery in the morning. And on her wrist or whatever. And so I thought, well, I don't know if she can handle two bags. And so I asked her, I said, you want two bags? Well, the end up was I can stay up all night. I got all night to put them up. That's occupying. She gets the turnip greens, and that surgery will stop her. She's going to stay up all night long and pressure cook them if she has to. That's what it means. She's doing business. Now, I brought that up as a little example. I know it's turnip greens, but she loves turnip greens. I believe I could bring the whole patch. I believe she'd have them in freezers. I believe she'd buy another freezer if she had to put them all up. Why? That's something she desires. And she will stand and herd, and she will stand and go through, and she'll miss sleep. I'm just making a point, that's all I'm doing. That means Jesus, Jesus told them, y'all don't get slack. I'm going to give you this and do business. Be productive. Don't back up till I come. Till I come, put this to use. Put it into action. How many knows that's what we do with the word and the promises of God? We put our faith into action. We put our words lined up with the word of God, and we don't back down. We occupy till Jesus comes back for us. There's nowhere in the scripture that I can find that tells us that we're going to get weaker or we're going to get broker or we're going to, as the body, I'm talking about the body, believers. But I see a whole lot of people that don't believe what that Bible says, and I'm not on them judging them or condemning them. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I hate it. I hate it. I hate to see somebody sick when there's promises, God's people in there. I hate to see them broke when there's finances laying in that Bible. I hate to see them weak when the Bible says be strong in the Lord and in the power. I hate to see them complaining because of troubles when the Bible says, fear not, for I'm with thee. So, you know, I mean, just like with the when the pandemic hit, people, well, you're preaching on COVID. No, I'm not preaching on COVID. I am preaching stand against COVID or it can affect you majorly. The Bible says taking the shield of faith. That's what occupy means. It says take the shield of faith, which will quench all the fiery darts of the devil. All of them. faith stops the devil. Aubrey yesterday. Dad went to the thrift store and all that stuff. And I'd been busy going to get cows and doing different things, you know. And Tracy, she was gone. And so anyways, I messed around there and they came in. Well, I thought, well, now Aiden, I mean, I got this little mule. It's a little, like a gator or something. And that boy, he loves that thing, you know. And we're going out there the other day, and he said, "Papa, when did you get this?" And I said, "Well, I got it yesterday," like that. And he said, "Papa, I love you." He's driving that gator, man. I said, "No, you love what I do for you," you know. And anyways, I was out there and I was getting Granny some turnip greens, and I thought, "Well, don't get his attention right now, because all he wants to do is drive." And "Papa, hurry. Papa, hurry. Hurry, Papa, you got to hurry." Well, he come on down there. And I thought, man, I didn't get finished with him. Well, I had three bags. And I was going to pick three bags of turnip greens. I was going to give one to Dee and two to Granny. And if she was here and wanted some turnip greens. And that was, you know. He gets down there when I have the second bag. And I'm fixing to start. And he gets up on the gator and he sees that other bag. He picked it up and he said, "Papa." He said, "That bag's got a hole in it." He stuck his finger through there. And I said, "Yeah." He said, "The turnip greens will fall out, Papa." He said, "I'm going to go throw this in the ditch." He didn't want me filling that third bag. And I thought, "No, you're going to have to endure some hardship." I said, "No, give me that bag." I said, "It won't fall out of that." "Oh, Papa, we got to hurry." I said, "Your daddy know you're down here?" Yeah, he said, "For just a little bit." I said, "Okay." Well, we're riding. Here comes Aubrey out with a shed guide or a kite. Hadn't opened it yet, you know. "Papa, will it fly?" I said, "Well, ain't a lot of wind ain't blowing." I said, "But let's put it together." Now Aiden's getting frustrated because now we got to sit here. He's ready to ride, you know, so he's getting frustrated. And I said, "Well, you just going to have to hang on. You know, unless we let Aubrey drive." "We can wait." He don't want Aubrey to drive. And so I get it together, and it goes. The wind's not blowing, so I get it on the gate. "So I got an idea. You get in the back of the gator and let some line out, and Papa's going to pull it." And so I'm pulling it, you know, and then when you turn around, it goes down to all that stuff, you know. And so I said, "Look, we're going to have to wait till the wind's blowing a little bit more." You know, and she said, and I'm telling you this for a reason. I was thinking this morning, God brought what I said to her up to me concerning this morning. See, God will get involved in all of your life if you want him to. He'll minister to you. He'll speak to you through the circumstances of your life and give you revelation that'll change your life about a cat. He didn't even use scripture. He used a cat. Well, I told her, she looked around, she said, "Papa, let's ask God. You ask God to let some wind come." And I said, "Well, you ask him." She looked at me, she said, "Papa, you ask him." I said, "I'm not going to ask him." I said, "I don't really want to fly that kite." I said, "You know, you go." Now, I've never heard her ask God anything. I have never. I don't know. And I'm thinking, man, there's something going on here. So she goes over there, and she, I didn't hear her. So she turned around, and I said, "What'd you tell God? What'd you ask God?" She said, "I told God, please, please, God, let the wind blow." Like that, and she looked at me, she said, "I think he's thinking about it." Well, it wasn't blowing, Johnny. Now it ain't blowing, so now she thinks God's thinking about it. And I'm like, man, what a mind. God must be thinking about it. Well, you know, it wasn't too long. It wasn't just a few minutes. The top of the trees started moving. She said, "Hey, I feel cold." I said, "Well, anyhow, I told her, I said, "We're going to have to wait till the wind blows." And then I said, "Papa's going to get a kite too." Got me wanting a kite. I'm going to fly a kite with her. Well, now I'm making a point. This morning, the Lord spoke to me when he told me occupy till he comes. And he says, now he said, the kite. I thought, what about that kite, you know? He said, that kite flies better with resistance. He said, air is resistance. He said, in that wind, he said, takes that kite higher with resistance. He said, occupying till I come, he said, means that there's going to be resistance everywhere you go to go higher in me. And believe me, he said, you are going to have resistance. You have an adversary. In John 10:10, he said, he's the thief which comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Now, Aubrey, because we said that and Travis determined that, now she's upset. She's upset, you know, because fine, it's never going to blow. Blah, blah, went home. See, that's about 80% of Christians today that I know. I'm not trying to be critical. But it don't matter. God always had a remedy. The prophet told him in there, he said, there's nobody but me serving you. And God told him, he said, I have, I done forgot how many. Yeah, that hadn't bowed their knee. See, just because he couldn't see in the natural that there's people serving the Lord, there was people serving the Lord. There's people serving the Lord today. There's a remnant in this last day. I believe in every church that's anointed by the Lord, that's went through and going through and getting established in the Word of God, are going to rise, and they are going to be very noticeable on this planet because they really have true faith in God, and that then people will know it without them saying it because they will see the glory of God on their lives. People even do it now. I can see it in all in the ones in this place that is dedicated to the Lord. You might not even see God's glory, but I'm telling you, the people that are in faith, it is noticeable to people that are in faith. I know faith. I know doubt and unbelief. I can hear it. I can see when you've got faith in your face or not. I can see when you're weary. I can see, and if you're up spiritually, you will too. You'll hear it in people's voice. You'll hear them speak and all of that. Just like Teresa was talking about, I didn't see Joseph complaining throughout the whole time that God had given him vision. God's give every one of you vision if you're a prayer, if you're a faster, if you are a seeker, if you're going that you have vision. You might not even realize that vision's from God, but when you have a desire to have a better marriage, that's God. When you have a desire to be the father, that's God. When you have a desire to be the best mother or grandparent, those things are not natural. They're supernatural in us. We're born again. Give me the Genesis, Beth. And then Teresa comes right behind it. And she began to tell the story, and I'm sitting back there, and I'm thinking, I didn't know when all of these things was going on in my life that I was going where I was going. Travis, and I was reminded when I started up on the, don't let your kids hang out just anywhere. Don't let them hang out with just anybody. It seems like control to the world. It seemed like control to my sister when she told me that I had Travis about 12 or 13 years old in a spiritual prison. A spiritual prison. And I told my sister, and that's why you're not popular if you're going to separate and be and do what you feel like the Lord wants you to do for the benefit of your kids or grandkids or whatever. You know, I told her, I said, I didn't ask you how to raise mine. I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you if Travis, well, I feel sorry for him. I said, don't think about him. He's fine. Travis, I can't hang out with nobody. Blah, blah, blah. He's a teenager. You know, I need to go, I can't hang out with nobody, Daddy. Hey, you want to hang out with them little partiers? We wouldn't let him. And I told Travis, I told Travis, I said, listen to me, son. I'm not trying to deprive you of fun. I said, they're not going where you're going. They're not going to end up where you end up. It's their choice. Well, look at him today. He got his family in church serving the Lord. Gets up here. I guess he's been praise team leader for 12, 15 years. I don't know. Long time. You know, seen him get faithful in at work and different things. I seen because I didn't let him go. Can't convince me that it wasn't the case. See, we live for the Lord, and it's not always the easy road. The choices that we make, that we feel, the enemy and even our kids and our grandkids, you know, we can't let them have everything they want. Discipline them. Get them to acknowledge God and all that. These are godly attributes that the glory will come on you. The glory of God will come on you. He'll anoint you to do it. The hardship, the overriding the emotions. I had to do it with Travis. I have to do it with the grandkids. Or I would totally ruin them. Because I have the ability to do what I want to. Give them everything. Tell them, you know, you live with Papa one day. You know, you ain't got to do what, because, you know, they'll go around, well, Dad's mean out there. And I tell them, nope, Dad's not mean. You just want what you want, and you're getting what you want, and ain't Dad, it's you. Tell them the truth. Dad's mean because you won't let them go out naked out on the front porch or something, whatever the case might be. Won't let him go out there and I'm down at the garden. He's mean. No, he told you not to go and you best not go. He went and got a spanking for going. Even though I would just call him out there anytime. But it ain't about that. And then I can't let them know that it's okay to disobey parents. You teach them to be rebellious, and you got a world full of them out there right now, 25 to 30 years old, that can't take nothing from nobody, no kind of telling me what to do. Why? Because there was somebody raised them that way. Ain't nobody going to tell you nothing. That's rebellion. And Travis took up, you know, after me. That was occupying. I mean, this scripture is just not real to me right now. I mean, Jesus spoke this to me back years and years ago. Stand against sickness and disease. Stand against the enemy when he's trying to move your kid the wrong way. Stand against him. Stand against. Resist. Confront if you have to. Confront. Somebody say confront. I'm not afraid to confront the enemy. You know. Here in Genesis, the Lord appeared unto him, talking about Isaac, and Abraham had died, and Isaac, this is Isaac afterwards, and there had been a famine in the time of Abraham, and Abraham went down to Egypt. I'm just catching you up to where this is at. And here another famine, like the famine it was in Abraham's day, and he went down to Egypt. And God appears to, now Isaac's fixing to go to Egypt like Dad did. You know, and the Lord appeared to him and said, go not down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, I will be with thee, and I will bless thee, for unto thee and to thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed. This is the same promise. I mean, this is the promise that he made Abraham. And he's bringing it down now to another generation, the same word, because Abraham was obeyed the Lord. Abraham walked with the Lord. Now, I can see this coming out in Travis's life, me walking with the Lord, and I can see things happening now that I couldn't see back down yonder. You know, I just thought, all he wants to do is sing that stupid country music out there. Make your speakers go boom, boom. I'm like, what about Jesus making you go boom, boom? You know, but see, I couldn't see it, Johnny. But I kept on. I'm like, I'm not giving up on the promises of God. He said if I'd serve him, he'd save my whole house. The scripture says it, and I've not looked, and I've raised him, blah, 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 just like I believe Abraham did. I believe Abraham did it, but anyhow, he said, I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply the stars of the heaven. I will give unto the seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And you know what? He's telling us that today. This is not a bygone word. It went by and it's gone. Now, you know, I knew that there would be consequences if I didn't raise him up in the Lord. I knew that I would be teaching him, preaching a gospel to him that is not in that Bible, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembly. Well, if that Bible says, forsake not the assembly, there ain't nothing can stop me if I believe God. Nothing. What about when you had open heart surgery? I had it in that room. I watched y'all. I was in church. Come on, somebody. I wasn't looking for a reason not to be here. I run this church in a hospital bed. I made decisions praying and fasting in the hospital. Yea, though you walk through the valley of the, you will fear no evil, for he's with you. He's with me in surgery. He was with me after surgery. He was in me. And if God be for me, who can be? See, we can't just turn off God just in times you think that he's not there. You know, I mean, what was I supposed to do? Occupy. He said, you need to take a break. I said, I am breaking. I'm alive. Well, you need to calm down. I am calm. I'm here. I said, the Bible says occupy. I said, occupy makes me stronger. Occupy keeps me focused. Occupy, that means to do business. Do business. He didn't say go in there and have surgery and stay knocked out with them pills. This is what hard to people is. But this is an easy road to me. I'm in grace. You're in grace. You plugged into him. You having faith in him. You plug into a supernatural power that will bring you out of open heart surgery, bring you out of trouble, bring you out of prison, bring you out of the lion's den, bring you out of your past, bring you out of poverty, bring you out of sickness and disease, bring you out. Isaac obeyed the Lord. Go on, Beth, give me some more. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice. Somebody say obey. Hear and obey. The Lord told me years ago, he said, if you'll follow me. He didn't say if you'll go to church. He didn't say if you'll fast, if you'll pray, if you'll acknowledge me. He said, if you will follow me, I will bring you to the place to where you want nothing. That was a word from God. I mean, it was a word. I got hold of it, and I told Teresa, I said, glory to God. I said, you know what? We might be wanting things right now. I said, but I'm telling you, we're going to walk with God. I said, one day, me and you ain't going to want nothing. I couldn't no more think that high in my head at that time, but it wasn't in my head. It was in my heart. And you know what? Today, I'm there. Get mad if you want to. Get mad out there. If you won't, sit there broke. Sit there in fear. Sit there and let your TV station tell you that it ain't going to be good for you. That it's a recession coming. Get you in fear where you turn your heart and eyes away from God, the one that can deliver you, the one that can roll back the Red Sea, the one that can keep you in while you're in prison. Turn your eyes away from him and shove him out, and the enemy comes in. Wherever we don't occupy, he comes in. Satan will come in. That's how come, you know, I used to have this saying, I'll never bite that bullet, or I'll not let that ball start rolling in my life. I could have did it through surgery. I could have did it. Well, you know, it happened to me like it did everybody else. No, it didn't. This body didn't tell me nothing. It kept me down for a week and a half. That's it. It was either that or die, I reckon they said. And so I wasn't afraid of dying, so, but God, I'm coming out. I'm coming out. And you know what? I've faced some tough stuff since I come out. But you know what? I refuse not to occupy, because I see these patriarchs in the Bible. Now, if you ain't going to seek the Lord, you're not going to get very deep in this faith thing. You're not going to have that joy and peace that seekers, that those that go further in the Lord other than just church. Church is just, it's shallow to just be a churchgoer. You got to go and eat manna out of heaven every day. You got to talk to the Lord. You got to pray and not plead with God. Like Aubrey, God, please. See, she don't know that's not going to get the wind blowing. She don't know yet, speak to that mountain. I got to take it easy on her right now, because at least she's talking to God. She's talking to him. But I couldn't feel no faith, or I would have said, blow in the name of Jesus. I didn't feel it. God didn't say it. They seasons. Teresa talked about it. There'll be seasons. But anyways. And the men of the place asked of his wife. Now, he went on. I'm not going to go through that whole thing. And it was his wife, and he lied to him, said it was his sister because they thought he might kill him for his wife. And then later on, he gets in trouble because the king finds out. He goes down there and sees them, you know, kissing, whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing. But he sees it, and then he goes down there, and he says, what have you done? That is your wife. He said, why have you done this to us? He said, one of the men could have slept with her, and then you would have brought trouble to the camp. And then he goes out and he sends out and he tells them, he says, hey, better not nobody touch her, lest you die. I mean, he put out, if y'all touch, that's his wife, and if you touch her, you die. And then, go on, Beth, give me some more, because I'm not really going to walk back. Amalek, king of the Philistines, looked out. No, go on, Beth. Give me some more. And Amalek said, what is that? And Amalek changed his people, saying, give me some more. And the men waxed. And the man, no, back up. I missed a good one. Hey, you look funny with those glasses off. Okay. Now, God told him. And I'm coming to a point here. I didn't want to get into all that. God spoke to me one time. I thought, I got to get out of Blount County. I was thinking in my mind, I was thinking, Lord, you know, I got too much past going on here. A lot of things happened in Blount County, you know, that wasn't good in my life and mentoring and different things. You know, and so I'm telling the Lord after I get saved, I said, God, I gotta maybe we just need to move to Florida or something, you know, get out of here and get a fresh start and, you know, where we can, you know, I'm called into ministry and different things, and I've done too much in Blount County, Lord, you know, and blah, blah, blah. I'm going through the bit with God. And the Lord, he wouldn't answer me, wasn't saying nothing, but I'm letting these thinking go, and I'm thinking this is the way, you know. This is the only way I'll have a good life, and I can have a fresh ministry and all that stuff, you know, and all of that, you know. Satan even used the scripture where Jesus didn't have no honor in his own town. You know, Satan used it on me to get me to move. I'm supposed to be in Blount County. I'm supposed to be right here in the middle of Bluntsville. But anyhow, the Lord reminded me when I would read this story, and the Lord right there, when I got right here, he said, the Lord appeared to him and said, don't go to Egypt. And the Lord spoke to him and he said, I didn't tell you to move. I didn't tell you to move. And then I saw here, it says in verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in that year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I'll bless you right where you're at. You know, he said, I will deliver you from your past. I've already delivered you. I'm going to walk you through. I'm going to walk. Ain't nowhere else on earth I'd rather be living. But listen. See, some of you feel like maybe, you know, if you had done things different, if you had all of that stuff. No, you got to, right where you're at, you got to start sowing. You got to start occupying. See, Isaac didn't just throw some money out. Isaac tilled that ground up, I imagine. Isaac built him a house, I imagine. Isaac built Pastor Fence to hold his stuff in, I imagine. It don't tell all that. But the Bible says he sowed in that land that God told him. He told him, stay there at Gerar, whatever that is, you know. Don't go to Egypt. His dad went to Egypt. That should have been probably looked like what he should have done. God took care of Abraham in Egypt. But God brought, God's speaking to me this morning, and he said, tell my people right where they're at to occupy. So y'all that are listening on Facebook, you don't never comment like, but I know you're there. You know, you don't go to church. You want to turn on your preaching on TV. That's not what occupy is. Occupy means get up, shave, take a bath. Hallelujah. Get you some Sunday clothes on. If you don't feel good, get up and march. Because in the land where God told him and he occupied, the Bible says God blessed him. Get up, go to church. Get up, read your Bible. Well, I just don't get nothing out of church. It's because you're not putting nothing into it. See, church is not to move you. Church is not come on down here where you can get moved. No, you ought to be moving, praying, fasting, seeking the Lord, and bring that anointing in to where then there's a corporate anointing flowing that God ministers and brings down a special anointing that ministers to all of us manna out of heaven. Hallelujah. The Bible says there's some weak and sick among them because they won't, and die early because they won't acknowledge the body. Guy told me one time, he says, well, that's the body broken for Jesus. I said, no, now we are the body. I said, if God's telling me to go somewhere to assemble and get plugged in and help that ministry in there, then if I don't, I'm not acknowledging the body. If God's telling me to go to church somewhere, he wants me to go to church. And if I don't, I could be sick, weak, and die early. I didn't write that. Paul did in Corinthians. But when we're occupying, there's an anointing that comes on us and in us and through us. Hallelujah. Sickness and disease just can't stay. You know, I went in this little spot here. He said it was cancer. So I'm going to go let him cut it off, whatever. But you know what I did? I went out of there and I laid my hands on it, prayed God, and I said, cancer, I know you got a name now. I know what you are now. You're trying to attack my face, and I'm telling you right now in the name of Jesus, me and Jesus here in Boaz is telling you and bearing the word, bearing witness that by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. I command you to dry up at the roots. And you know what? It started healing. It wouldn't heal up. And it's almost healed up. I am not going to fall prey to the doctors. I'm not anti-doctor. Go to the doctor. I'm going. But that's not where my trust is. I want it to die. I'd rather kill it. Right? See, some Christians get confused over that. Well, you know, we just got to live in this reality world. We know it. That's how come you're in fear. That's how come you put your trust in your money. That's how come you put your trust in your food and your money that you've got saved up and all that. You put your trust in all that. We know. So you got to live in that reality. But the reality of the kingdom is, the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, not BR6, not Fox, not none of them. He didn't say we live by that. He didn't say we determine our future by that. Had a guy tell me the other day, he said, well, I mean, it ain't looking good for the future. You know, I mean, I hope you got some stuff stored up. I said, I do. I didn't go on preaching to him, but the Bible says for us to lay up treasures in heaven. Right? I got it laid up. I've been a tither for a lot of years. I've been a giver for a lot of years. I've been a sower and a shaker for a lot of years. I've been a believer for a lot of years. So I have laid up for myself treasures in heaven where moth can't get it, rust can't corrupt it. There can't nothing touch it. When I have need of it, I draw it. Faith draws what you've laid up. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, going to church. Be not weary in tithing. Be not weary in forgiving people. Be not weary, you know, when people does you wrong, to turn the other cheek. You know, I just thought about an incident. They did me wrong on one of my tractors. I'm going down the road, and I thought, you know what? They just don't know. I got money. I'll go get me a lawyer, and I will. They won't never do anybody like that anymore. It's not about the money. I thought they're doing people wrong and all of that stuff, and that's fine. You can do me wrong, and I just forgive you and move on. But some people don't know how to forgive, so they suffer for years. And I got done with all that thinking, and God said, sue no man. Jesus did. He said, if they take your cloak, give me your coat also. Man, that scripture is always in my way. Always in my way. Now I can't go help these poor people that's getting done wrong. You know? Now, why am I telling you that? Because the Bible says, Scotty, better live by the word. Right? Man shall not live. Well, now I can bypass that. Guy told me the other day was talking about something. I said, yeah. I said, I got burnt over this deal last year. I said, and you know, they didn't do what they said. I said, and I let it go on, you know, and just forgot about it. But I started unconnecting myself. I said, let me tell you why. I said, the Bible says, for me not to be unequally yoked together with non-believers. I said, what I did, I said, I got a little bit too yoked because they're not Christians. I should have kept it more business, more separated. I got burned a little bit. See, that's not occupied. So I told him, I said, I know how to preach the Bible. I said, I know how to do a lot that I can't just know how to bring it out, teach it, preach it. I said, because when it's revelation, my head can't get it out like I know it in my heart. I said, so what I did, I said, I violated scripture. I wasn't doing nothing ugly or nothing, you know, bad. I just got little, not partner, but in there a little deeper than I should have with some sinners. What do sinners do? Sin. Right? They can't help it. You know? And so I told him, I said, well, see, I said, I violated scripture. I said, the Bible says that Scotty shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God shall Scotty live. I said, now that's there for my protection. I said, and the scripture says, and I know it, be not unequally yoked together. I said, but it was going to benefit me a little bit. I said, so I kind of got a little too yoked, and therefore I got bit a little bit. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm not talking about that person. They're good people. The people do what they do. You know? And so he tells him, now See, Isaac could have said, I don't know about all that now. I mean, ain't nothing here. I mean, hang out here? Man, the Philistines down there, they got some food, and, you know, they got it going on. The world ain't got it going on out there. They ain't got it going on. They're in fear. They're living in fear. They're trying to survive. See, the church is not supposed to try to survive. We're supposed to be thriving. We're supposed to be in faith, inspired by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Word of God, and doing the Word of God. The Bible says that the Word preached, not mixed with faith, profited them nothing in Hebrews. So if I hear by Jesus' stripes I'm healed and sickness gets me, and I just say, well, I knew sooner or later it was going to get me. You know, I didn't believe what I heard. I knew Granny had it, and Papa had it, and Aunt Lulu had it, and all that. And I mean, it's just in our bloodline, just handed on down. See, you just did away with the power of the gospel. He told him, he said, and the Lord blessed him. It goes on down, and he went in and found where his daddy had dug wells. We've not got really time. I don't need to be closing. He goes on, and Abraham, before then, he was probably there with Abraham, so he probably knew about where the wells were dug. I don't know. But the Philistines had come in and filled the wells in with earth, the Bible says. See, that's what the enemy's come in. He's trying to stop the flow of faith and joy and peace and healing with the body of Christ. And so he goes on. He goes on, and he digs that one well, and they start to contend with him. The Philistines, they come in there, you know, and they start fighting over it. So they just pick up tent and go to another place. They dig another one. The Bible says springs of water. They found a stream of water. And I thought about it. I thought every time I've seen people make up their mind on Saturday, I'll see you, or Wednesday, I'm coming to church. I've been able to come for 3 months. It's just hard to get started. Your well has been filled in. Now, you know what? Their well was filled in. But to get down to that water, what did they have to do? Dig it out. They had to do something. They had to physically dig that well out. And you know what? They went on 3 times that happened. And I thought of it. The Lord told me one time about 15, 20 years ago, he said, never let the enemy fill your well up. The Bible says out of your belly will flow what? Rivers of living water. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you never have to be dry spiritually again, because I was hearing that. I just feel dry spiritually. I'll feel dry spiritually. Out of people, I'm just going through a dry spell, a dry spot. And the Lord got me to that scripture, and it says that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And when I read that, the Lord said, if you will draw water, you never have to be thirsty. He said, this that Christians are saying, he said, they're grieving their own spirit. They're grieving their spirit, and they're thinking they're going through dry places. He said, it's not dry places they're in. He said, they're in the rivers of water, but they're not letting it flow. See, if you're dry spiritually, you're not going through a dry spell. You got to drink. You got to draw. How do I do that? Put on preaching. Turn off that TV. You know, get your mind stayed on the Lord. Listen to some good preaching. Listen to some Christian music. Turn the news off. I turn it on about 3 minutes, and I go, nah, I'm about done with that. I'd rather watch ID where they're killing people. I feel better when I watch ID. At least I know it's real and true that it happened and the outcome. But you watch the news and you're like, I don't know about all that. No, I don't know about all that. I got that saying. I started that just to keep me where I don't let the Philistines fill my well up. Somebody will say something negative or something like that, and I'll look at them and I'll say, I don't know about all that. And I'll walk off. I like that. I don't know about all that. And the boy said, you don't know about all what? I said, all that doubt. I ain't taking that. That's not me. I got to drink out. I got to drink that living water. But you know what? They went on. They wouldn't quit. I think it was maybe the third or fourth well that they drilled, that they dug back out. The Lord, that's where that was supposed to be, right there. Once they dug and dug and dug and found, they couldn't find no peace. Once they found that peace, and the Bible says that God was with them. He was with them. That's where they got where God wanted them to be. So I want to encourage you, occupy in your marriage. Occupy. 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 Go forward. Get to stir the things up that God has placed in you. You know, I was thinking about it the other day. I was thinking, you know what? I'm not even, I think about quitting work, but I can't even quit work until God says it. I don't care if I've been there 50 years. God put me in that, and that's not up to me to retire from. Right? That'll be up to God. As far as ministry, I'll never retire as pastor. Never. I will never. I will never. The Bible says the call of God is without repent. He don't change his mind. If he's placed a call, now he may have you, I mean, he shifted me from evangelist to a pastor, and I mean, and I've actually, you know, started ministries, and that's a prophet does that. An apostle does that. They'll start ministries and place people over them. I do that here. I mean, I've done it here. You know, standing in that, praise God. But he did ship me, praise the Lord. But to ever think that I will never be called to minister the gospel and God want me to minister the gospel, I don't even have that mentality. This thing is something I am. It's something you are as a Christian. You're not trying to be a Christian if you're born again. You are one. You're not trying to be a warrior. You are one. Satan's trying to fill your wells. Satan's trying to get you not to occupy. Satan's trying to get you not to go to church. Nah, I don't go to church. He said, don't go to, don't stay home. Don't go, don't stay home. Go to church. Somebody told me one time, well, everybody can't go to church. I said, I'm not talking to them. So it shouldn't bother them. If they can't go to church, well, then they're done okay with the Lord. That's why we send the internet and Facebook into their living room, because they can't. And then, you know what? Some of them will. My mama thought she wasn't able till we got her healed. Then she's ready to go to church. She said, that light's getting too bright. I said, carry your sunglasses. In church? I said, yeah. And then she wanted to take a nap. So she said, well, I need a chair where I can get comfortable, you know, be more comfortable. Brought her a chair. Travis had to stay back there and wake her up. Got her sunglasses on. Can't tell if she sleeps till she starts snoring. But we don't care. We brought her one in here. She wanted to come to church. Y'all told me, I can't come to church. My back's hurt. I said, we can get that fixed. I might have to stand up. I said, I don't care. Lay on the floor. We'll bring you a cot in there if you need to. Maybe you can lay down in the corner over there and soak up the sweat. We're not your normal church. If we need to, we'll put a cot back there. We'll tote you out of the van in here. Lay you down, tote you back. We'll get somebody to go bring you here if we need to. We believe God will heal you. We believe if you will occupy that God will be with you. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.